Well, welcome to week two of Pro Tips from Proverbs. And if you were here last week, if you weren't here last week, well, yeah, obviously we get it. It's actually Proverbs, but it works a lot better if you say it Proverbs. Pro Tips from Proverbs. So if you've been following along, actually, in, I don't know if there's anybody in the Reading the Bible in a Year small group here. Yeah, any shout-outs? This actually comes at a real good time, because if you're following that, we're actually in Proverbs right now. So you guys are going to be just like the loud ones this morning. You're like, yeah, I read that this week. Amen, come on, all right? So I need you guys' help this morning. But I get to pick up week two. Last week, Pastor Evan kind of laid the foundation from Proverbs chapter one, where it talks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And this week, we're not going too much further into Proverbs, but I want to share with you a couple verses, but I want to kind of just share a little story that kind of ties into this. A few weeks ago, my wife and I, if you have been following us on social media or anything like that, you know that we actually got away on some holidays, which was pretty exciting. And we went down to Mexico. So, yeah, we had a real good time hanging out down in Mexico. And a lot of people were like, so where are you staying? And like, what are you going to do? And we kind of took literally the road less traveled in our trip. You know, usually when you think of Mexico, you think of beaches and you're just sitting by the pool at some all-inclusive resort and sipping non-alcoholic beverages and, you know, and just, you know, enjoying, relaxing, having a good time, right? But for us, you got to understand, Bernine's dream has always been to own a Volkswagen Westphalia camper van and to just go on road trips and just live out of a van. I don't know where she gets that dream from. I think she should have been born in like the 60s or something, but it's always been Bernine's dream. And so when we were looking at where we were going to stay, what we're going to do in Mexico, Bernine was online on Airbnb and she found this place that actually rents out camper vans that you can take through Mexico, down the Mayan Riviera, through the Yucatan Peninsula. We're just going to go cruising in this camper van. So Bernine comes to me super excited one day. She's like, Alan, I found a camper van that we can rent. It's going to be super awesome. Blah, blah. And, you know, it's her dream. It's not my dream. But I'm like, hey, you know what? Like, what's the worst that could happen, right? You know, we're going to Cancun. Let's do it. Meanwhile, our moms, you know, find out about our travel plans. And, you know, your parents, they love you. They have the best intentions, but sometimes they're just a little misguided. You know, I get a notification from Bernine's mom one day. It says, 12 shot dead in Cancun. A few weeks later, I get a message from my mom saying, 16 shot dead in Cancun. Like, is this a good idea? Really? Really? You know, so we just went for it anyways. We're just like, you know what? We got our affairs in order, and we went away on holidays. And I mean, hey, we're here today. I'm pleased to tell you that we were pretty safe. You know, the trip was relatively uneventful, other than like say the first night when, you know, it rained all night and we had to figure out how to put this tarp over the back of our van and stuff. And we hadn't done it before the rain actually happened. So here we are sitting in the van, super sandy from having to run to the van in the rain. And we're like, what do we do? So we just put on our bathing suits and we got out, put on the tarp and just had a great time. It was fantastic. But I can remember on the way home, the last day that we had to return this van. You know, when you return any rental vehicle, you know, you got to fill it up with gas, right? You know, otherwise, it's like all of a sudden the price of gas has gone up to $10 a liter and you're paying like $500 for a tank of gas because they got to do it, right? Like, come on, guys. But so we're on our way back to Cancun. We got to find a gas station one and we got to find where we're going, you know? Cancun's not a small city. And so we're about a half hour away. We get on the road and we're about 5 minutes down the road. And no joke, our AC just conks out. Like, no problems all week, AC drops out. We go from living in winter to living in the desert. It's just like super hot. So we're like, hey, no problem. We just roll down the windows. It's all good. We're cruising down the highway, you know. And so we get into town and we're looking for a gas station. But the only problem is the vehicle we're driving is a diesel vehicle. And so, you know, like a lot of gas stations don't actually sell diesel. So, you know, first gas station we pull into, no diesel. No. And we had a particular time we had to return this van by. So we were cutting it pretty tight. And I'm like, Bernine, we got to find a place. Now, the other problem was not only do we have no AC, but I had forgotten to charge my phone the night before, which was our source of navigation. And so Bernine's like, Alan, we're only at like 3%. We got to find a gas station now. And so we're like trying to Google, where's the diesel station? We're trying to message the guy that we're supposed to drop off. And we're like, hey, we're kind of lost. We're trying to find a gas station that's our diesel. Like, we might be late. Is this okay? And meanwhile, like, just like, okay, we're down to 1% now. We had to send two messages. Like, and we're getting lost. We're taking wrong turns. I'm having to pull U-E's. There's traffic circles that I got no idea where I'm going through. And all this stuff. And, you know, the trip was pretty awesome for the most part. You know, we're just like, I remember bouncing down the highway and just like, you know, hand on Bernine's leg. This is so awesome. And all of a sudden, it's just like, where are you taking me? You know, like, where do I turn? Like, Bernine, come on, help me. You're the one. We could never go on the Amazing Race. We would just destroy each other, you know? And it's like, you go from zero to 100 just like that, right? I'm sure none of you relate to that. But, you know, if you've ever gotten lost in, like, foreign territory, like, we've never been there before. If you've ever gotten lost or had that feeling of being lost, you know that it's like, it can be a really rough time. It can be really tense, and it can affect your relationships. It can affect everything, you know? And some of us maybe come here this morning, and we feel a little lost in life. You know, maybe you're at a place in life where you feel like you need to make a transition, maybe career-wise or whatever, but you're not sure what that is, and you just feel like you're kind of lost. Like, where am I supposed to be in life? You know? Maybe you're at a place where you're trying to start a family, or you just, you know, I know how that goes. And it's just like you kind of feel lost because it's not happening the way you had hoped it was going to happen. You know, maybe you're, okay, today's Grad Sunday. Maybe you're a graduate. You're coming to the end of this year, and all your friends have it figured out. They know what they're doing next year. They, you know, they've already got their acceptance letter from the universities or colleges. And here you are sitting there wondering, I got no idea what I'm doing. Like, I don't know if I'm going to work, if I'm going to go to school. Like, maybe I'm just going to stay in mom's basement, play video games all summer. I don't know what I'm going to do, right? Maybe you graduated a long time ago, and you still got no idea what you're doing with your life. Regardless, I know what it's like to feel lost and how that can really affect what goes on in our heart, how that affects our relationships with those closest to us, and how it affects our relationship with God, ultimately. And the cool thing is that there's a lot of pro tips that we see in Proverbs about this, about the path that we take in life, about seeking guidance from God and how he leads us down that path. And so I want to share with you, it's a very popular passage from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 this morning. And it says this, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Jesus, would you lead us, would you guide us into your truth this morning? So trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. We need to stop right there before we hit verse 6. We're just going to break down verse 5 a little bit. Because the truth is, a lot of us have heard these verses. Hands up if you've like memorized this in Sunday school, right? Like, a lot of us know these verses, but to be honest with you, I think there's so much more depth than we actually see on the surface to these verses. And like Pastor Evan put it so well last week, we see in Proverbs that these aren't necessarily promises. This isn't necessarily gospel truth. Proverbs are just more of a probability, more of an observation that someone made at one point and said, hey, this is generally how things go. So I want you to take that as we consider these verses this morning. Trust in the Lord. Now, I don't really know cars, so I'll be honest. When we went down to Mexico, like, I didn't really do too much research on what kind of van this thing was or whatever. I just assumed, I knew it was like just a camper van. And so we show up, and I don't know cars very well, but I'm looking at the thing, and I'm thinking, this thing's got a few miles on it. This is going to be interesting. And then the guy starts explaining to us, you know, how everything works in the van. And then at the end, he's like, yeah, and so just be careful. Like, sometimes it does this thing, you know. And that's never a good sign when you're, like, putting your life, you know, in this vehicle for 7 days. So there's this thing. He's just like, sometimes when you're shifting from third to fourth, you know, the clutch is a little sticky. You know, you just got to, like, just hammer on it, and it'll come back up. And you're like, good to know. And meanwhile, I'm like giving Bernine like dagger glances, like, what did you get us into here? But trust is a weird thing. We all have vehicles, and we put trust in our vehicles, whether you realize it or not. When you are going from point A to point B, if you're going to drive from here down to Victoria, you know, and you're going to hop on that Highway 19 and go a buck 20, although we all know you're doing a buck 30, you know, you're putting a lot of trust in your vehicle to get you there, you know? A lot could go wrong, and a lot could have gone wrong in that van, a lot more than our AC breaking at the end of the week. But trust is a weird thing because it forces you to hand control of your life into someone or something's hands, you know? And you're just trusting that it or that person is going to know what they're supposed to do, you know? You might not even necessarily know, like I didn't know this car very well. You might not necessarily know a person very well. You might not even know God very well. But this verse is actually telling you to trust God with all of your heart. Right? That's crazy when you think about it. Most of us probably don't know God very well. And if you don't know God very well, you know that the reviews aren't very good either, you know? Like, if God were on TripAdvisor, he'd probably only be like a 3 out of 5 based on a lot of the negative reviews that we see from the media, but there's all the positive that we get from the church. Yet we're implored to trust in him with everything that we have, to not lean on your own understanding. Don't worry about, you know, that the 12 years of education and maybe the degree or two that you've got. Don't worry about all that stuff. You just trust in God. Don't lean on all that understanding. Don't lean on all that other stuff you got piled up. It means giving control 100% to him. And we, as human beings, are terrible at this. We are terrible at giving away control. We love to be in control of our own lives. Anyone a control freak? You want to admit to that? I'll admit to it. I am a control freak, for sure, of my own life. And to give control 100% to God, that freaks me out. And maybe it freaks you out too, because you're like, well, if I give God 100% control of my life, that means that, you know, I'm going to have to sell everything, I'm going to have to give everything away, and then I'm going to have to pack up and move and become a missionary somewhere, probably like Papua New Guinea or something, where they still eat people, and that's it. That's it. That's pretty much the end. The truth is that's not necessarily what we're talking about, what trust is. Giving God control isn't necessarily about sacrificing goals. It's about the surrender of our souls. Let me say it again. Right? Giving God control isn't about necessarily giving up your goals. It's about the surrendering of our souls. Right? That's where it's at. And God may not call you to lay down every hope and every dream, but the point is you need to be okay with it if he does. Right? That's what trusting the Lord is all about. And you can only really accomplish everything that he has for you if you're willing to trust in all that he has for you. Which leads us then to verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll straighten your paths. Now, this is where I get a little frustrated. I actually really hated this verse as I was preparing this week. Because it sounds so easy, right? In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. Great. So it's like, acknowledge him. When we think of acknowledge, it's like, oh, hey, Jesus, what's up? Okay, I'm going to go. That's it, right? I acknowledge Jesus. Hey. And then keep going. It sounds so easy, yet if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you know that there's a lot of crooked paths that we end up taking in life, right? I even think of our journey to come here to Courtney, to move here to Courtney. If you ask Pastor Evan, I made him sweat many nights. He had to learn to trust the Lord with all his heart. I can remember having a conversation with Evan when they were talking about bringing us out here to interview for the position. And Bernine and I were still, like, honestly, we'd just gotten back from a year of traveling. We had some thoughts about where we might want to go in life. And then this came up, and we were like, hey, this seems great, too. And we're just tossing ideas around. And we were seriously considering coming here, but we were seriously considering just staying in Alberta. And Evan phones me on the phone. He's like, hey, like, we're really interested in bringing you out here for an interview and all this stuff. How are you feeling? I'm like, I'm at, like, 50-50. And he's like, okay, well, here's the deal. Like, I need to convince, you know, our council that it's worth bringing you out here to, like, interview. Can you at least give me, like, a 51? I'm like, yeah, I mean, sure. If that's what helps you sleep tonight, go for it. But I think about the journey that we had coming here, and when it came time to make that decision, no doubt we were acknowledging God. Like, we were trusting in God. Yet it didn't seem like he was making the path very straight. It felt like we were at a fork in the road, where we're like, which way do we go, God? And it didn't actually feel like he was giving us anything. It didn't actually feel like he was saying go left or go right. It felt like he was actually just throwing a chest pass at us and saying, here's the ball, you run with it. What do you do with that? How do you reconcile that with this verse? And that's when I had a breakthrough. As I was studying this week, I started to dig into what the original wording of this verse may have actually meant. That word acknowledge is just a translation of the original Hebrew. And that word, the original word, can be translated multiple ways. And so acknowledge is just one of the translations that we often see. But if you look at other translations, that could also be interpreted this way: to notice, to know, to hear of, to realize. And I like a couple of those. I like that one, to notice, you know. I like it when you think of that, to take notice of what God is doing, or to realize what he's up to. It's to notice what God, so when you look at that verse again and you say, instead of acknowledge, it's notice what God is doing, realize what God is doing, and then he'll make the path straight. So it's not about us picking something and then God kind of making it all work together. It's about us tapping into what God's already doing. God's already at work. We just need to start to realize and to notice what he's doing. You know, it kind of bothers me a little bit sometimes when we hear these, like, don't get me wrong, I love the prophetic. But when you hear a prophet come and they give this big prophetic word that, oh, the Lord is on the move. Well, yeah, he's always on the move. Thanks. Right? Like, God's always on the move. He's always at work. We just need to wake up and realize it. We need to acknowledge what he's up to and then tap into that. It's like, if we're keeping on this road trip analogy, it's like, man, God's already got a highway laid out. We need to start merging onto that highway. We need to get up to speed with what he's already doing. That makes a little more sense. And then as we go through this, as we get on the highway, as we merge onto the highway, it's like we need to continue to recognize. We need to continue to notice what God is doing. You know, we need to pay attention to the signs. Here's another one. If you ignore the signs, you're driving blind, right? And so God's going to speak to you as you continue to go down this journey. And sometimes, here's the thing, though. Sometimes the signs are massive billboards. Sometimes they're tiny little homemade signs that have been spray painted over by some hooligan, you know? If you've been down to Cancun or Mayan Riviera, you know, you talk to the Jacobsons and Francisco, like, they know. There's signs everywhere on that highway. There's resort after resort after resort. You know, there's little things all over the place. It can be really easy, if you're not paying attention, to not realize where you're going. But if you're dialed in, if you pay attention, if you notice, if you realize, you can figure out where you're going. So there was this one place that we wanted to get to. In the Yucatan Peninsula there's all these little things called cenotes. Did I say that right? Yeah. Okay, sweet. So they're called cenotes, and they're like these little like sinkholes kind of things that have happened, almost miniature lagoons. You've probably seen them on National Geographic, and they're filled with like this fresh water. And they're really cool because they're all over the place, and you can go and you can swim in them, and the water's like crystal clear. It's like one of the cool things to experience when you're down there. And so Bernine and I wanted to do that while we were there. And so we're asking around, like, where are the good ones? Where's a good one to go? And the thing is, when you're driving down the highway, you see signs for them all over the place. And they love to get the tourists on these because it's like, it's just a little swimming hole off in the bush. But they'll charge you like 10, 20 bucks to go swim in it. So we find out that there's this little one off, kind of off the beaten trail. No tourists go there. There's this really cool platform you can go and jump off of, do cannonballs and dive and stuff. And so we're like, let's go find it. We got our own wheels. Let's do this thing. But the thing is, you had to pay attention because the lady's like, okay, it's about 7 kilometers south of town. It's going to be on the right-hand side, real small sign. You just pull off there. I'm like, okay. So we went. We paid attention. You know, we're looking at the odometer, watching the kilometers go. And they're, okay, it should be around here somewhere. Oh, there it is. There's a sign. If you're not paying attention for the signs, if you're not noticing the signs, if you're not acknowledging God along the way, you're going to miss it. But if you pay attention, then you get to where you need to go, right? Well, what if I'm not seeing any signs? That's a good question. That's a good problem to address. Because the truth is, a lot of times, we'll go through life and we don't feel like we're seeing any signs. We don't feel like we're hearing from God. God, what am I supposed to be doing with my life? God, I feel like there's a change up ahead, but I don't even know what it is. What do we do then? Glad you asked. The good news is, I'm not really going to answer the question, but I'm going to kind of in a roundabout way. The good news is, even if you do take a wrong turn, that God can make the path straight. Right? That's the rest of the proverb. Acknowledge him, notice him, and he will straighten the path. Now, that word straighten, I like that one as well because there's a couple other translations for that one as well. It could also mean to direct. You know, if you're old school and you like the King James translation, that's what it says. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Right? I like that because it doesn't sound as easy. It means that God will go behind you and kind of show you where to go. You know, it also means to smooth or to right. Like when you write a ship course, right? Like when you smooth something down, like when something's rough and you smooth it out, which means that God can actually take things if you mess them up. If you do take a wrong turn, if you're not hearing from him and you're like, God, where are you? And you don't hear him, and so you take a hard left when you should have taken a hard right. God still can straighten that thing out. God can still smooth over those rough patches. God can still right the ship when it goes off course, which is a beautiful thing. I think of the story of Joseph. I mean, if you don't know the story of Joseph, it's a staple in church. You know, Genesis chapter 37 to 42. You know, the story of Joseph where Joseph has these dreams that he has as a young man. And they're pretty big dreams. You know, we're talking like his brothers are actually, he's like one of the youngest in his family. And he's talking about his brothers actually like being like, bowing down to him, like being his subjects kind of thing. So this crazy stuff gets him into a lot of trouble because he goes running his mouth to his brothers saying like, hey guys, I had a cool dream last night. You want to hear it? Yeah, not a good idea. Gets himself into trouble. His brothers sell him into slavery. And while he's sold into slavery, he gets framed for rape and thrown into prison. But somehow in this crazy sequence of events, almost overnight, gets promoted to second in command over the whole country of Egypt. Like, you can't write this stuff, people. Like, you can't write this stuff. This is the working of the Lord. This is what we're talking about, how when you acknowledge him, when you acknowledge, when you realize, when you honor him, when you know him, he has a habit of straightening things out when we get off course or when maybe we don't have a choice and someone just T-bones us and we go off course. Because you see in Genesis chapter 39, there's a couple spots. It says that when Joseph was serving in Potiphar's house, when he was a slave, that the Lord was still with him. The Lord was with him, he blessed him, and actually he blessed Potiphar's house because Joseph was just there, which is awesome. A little bit later, Joseph is in prison, and it says that the Lord was with him again. That Joseph still honors God. He still realizes that God is there, and he still just acknowledges him in that, and that God straightens the path, and he eventually sees his dreams fulfilled. I mean, we don't know that, like, maybe God had another way of doing it. Maybe that was God's plan all along, that Joseph. Man, I always do that. Joseph, Moses, I mean, they're pretty close, right? But who would have known that maybe that was God's plan all along? Maybe not. We don't know. What we do know is that through the whole journey, Joseph honored God. He acknowledged God all through the way. And in that, God straightened the path. He eventually did see his dreams fulfilled. It's pretty cool. So maybe God doesn't guarantee that the way will be clear. Maybe he doesn't guarantee the way will be clear, but he guarantees that he's always near. Even in the belly of a prison. Even when he's, you know, sold into slavery. Like, he knows who he is. He knows his dad loves him, gave him this coat of many colors, yet somehow he ended up being wrongfully sold into slavery. He still honors God, and God still honors that. Man, that's a powerful thing. God is still with him. God doesn't guarantee the way will be clear, but he guarantees that he's always near. He will never leave nor forsake us. Going back to the story of Bernine and I, there were some signs along the way, and we just didn't recognize them at the moment. You know, when we were contemplating the decision to come here, I consulted my senior pastor from my old church. He's like a spiritual father to me. I said, Doug, there's this problem. You know, we have this great church that, you know, has invited us to come be a part of what's going on there, and yet there's these other plans that we feel like might be where we're supposed to go as well. And he didn't really help me out a lot, but he got me thinking. And he said, you know, Alan, the more and more that I live and the more that I process things in my journey with God, the more I'm realizing that I feel like God doesn't necessarily have a very specific, like, fine thread that we're supposed to follow in life. Because if he does, then a lot of us are hooped because we've gone way off course. But there is a specific calling and a specific trajectory that God has for our lives. But that can be accomplished a number of ways and through a number of different avenues. And so you need to figure out first and foremost what that call is on your life. You know, you're always going to be in ministry whether you're in a church or not, but you need to discover what God's purpose is for you and then figure out which of these options serves that best. So I had some work to do. So Bernine and I went and we prayed about it, and we came together and we talked about it, and we both kind of agreed, and my pastor encouraged me to just ask God for a word. Just ask God for a word to describe what his calling is for your life. Just simplify it, God. Just give me one word. And as I prayed for it, the word that came to my mind was inspire. And Bernine kind of echoed that when we came together. We said, you know what? Yeah, we feel like one of the things we've been put here on planet Earth to do is to inspire people. Cool. Okay, let's run with that. So that really didn't help us, because we were like, we could inspire people wherever we go. You know, I could inspire people as a plumber. I like, whatever. It doesn't help me. But we continued on the journey. We said yes to come out here to visit Courtney. And, you know, we got picked up by Evan in the Toyota Sienna, cruised up the island and had a good chat on the way. And I can remember as we were coming into Courtney, Evan was starting to talk about just kind of the philosophy of Northgate and his philosophy on what we want to accomplish on Sundays specifically. And he said, we want our Sunday morning services to be all about inspiration. And at the time, I was like, something went off in my head like, whoa, is that you, Lord? But I, you know, I'm the kind of guy where when I'm talking about seeing a sign or noticing God, I want the billboard, man. Like, I want the huge bill. I don't want that tiny little road sign that was made by a preschooler. I want the big billboards, shining lights, you know? So I'm like, yeah, that's maybe a sign, but I don't know. God, you can do better than that. And so we continue to go, and you know, the truth is, God never gave us like a boom billboard sign that we were supposed to come here. Even when the day we moved here, we were like, well, you know, we got nothing better to do. It's not a slam on Northgate. I'm just saying, for us, we honestly didn't know. It was a 50-50. We said, okay, we can stay here living in my parents' basement, or we can just move and see what God has for us. Let's just go for it. But it's cool that now, like over 2.5 years later, being here, we can see so clearly that it's what God wanted. That God, as we acknowledged him and as we looked for him and tried to notice him, that he did make the path straight. And the thing with noticing the path is that it's always easier to see in hindsight, unfortunately. You know, I believe that when we come to the end of this life, that a life well lived with God, that when we look back on it and we see these little moments, you know, these little signs along the way where God showed up and where God spoke to us clearly about calling, about purpose, about direction, I believe that as we look back at those things, that's when it starts to really look straight. Because we see these little moments, all those little side trails of where we went off or where something happened that we thought was taking us off course, we don't really see those as much. We see the moments where God showed up, and it's like you can just trace this straight line. It's like connecting the dots all the way back. I believe it. So wherever you're at today, I don't know where you're at. If you're feeling lost, if you're feeling like you're just looking for a sign, there's some simple wisdom here in these two verses. I would seriously ask you to consider, are you honestly trusting God with your whole heart? Have you just given God a little piece? Have you given God 100% control of your life? Have you taken all your dreams, all your goals, all your aspirations, given them to him and said, hey, it's all you, man. If you want to send me to Papua New Guinea, you do it. And then, are you looking for him? Are you genuinely noticing where he's at work? Are you noticing that little thread that he's weaving in your ordinary life where he's showing up? Are you recognizing? Are you realizing, oh, there's God. There's where I need to be merging. There's my little sign, or there's my big billboard sign. Because if you can follow some of this wisdom, like we said, it's not a promise that things will work out 100%. God never promised us it would be easy, by the way. But he did promise he'd be with us. So I leave you with that. Take it for what it's worth. We got some students that are here today. And like I said earlier, this is Grad Sunday. We got some grade 12 graduates in the room today. And they're at a very pivotal stage in their life where some of them may feel a little lost, where some of them are looking for those signs. Some of them are looking to acknowledge, God, where are you in all of this? And we actually want to just take a few moments now to honor the ones that are in the room with us today. So if you're a grad in here, I know I've seen a few already, I'm going to invite you to come on up on stage. And we just want to acknowledge you. Let's welcome them with a round of applause. Awesome. Yeah, full clap. Don't be shy. Come on up. Yeah, come on up, guys. Come on up. We got one, we got two. Hey, ho. Yeah, come on up, guys. You guys can just line up right here. Awesome. Hey. Woo! Wow. Right on. Well, what a good-looking bunch, hey? Oh, man, let me get... We got Mariah Seaman, Kiera Carpenter, Anthony Ryan, Isaac Johnson, and Melissa Spammer. All the way from Germany. Fantastic, right? And this is actually not even half of the grads that we're grading this year from Northgate. We've got 13, I believe, graduates from grade 12. And so we understand, guys, that this is like a crazy time in your life. You know, I'm not too far removed to remember some of the stress and some of just, but also some of the anticipation that comes with graduating. And so we want to, we bring you guys up here to let you know as a church body that we are standing with you, that we are here to support you, we're with you, and we are for you. And we also recognize that this church is great because, hey, Asia's here too! Yeah! The cool thing about Northgate is that we're such a multi-generational church. And so, you know, we celebrate all ages here. You know, we just had the kids up, and now we got the grads up. And we just want to let you guys know that we're with you, that as some of those who have gone before, we're here to help you guys, and we're here to pray for you and support you in whatever way we can. And I really hope that you guys have taken some of the words spoken this morning to heart and would be inspired to really, honestly, in this next season, to trust the Lord with all your heart. This is your time where you're starting to step out to put on your big boy pants or big girl pants and make your own decisions. And now is the time where you are going to actually make some of the most important decisions of your life. And the best decision you could ever hope to make is to throw your life in God's hands, to trust Him with everything, and to acknowledge Him, to begin to recognize where He's already at work, where He's already maybe started to call you in life. And so we got a gift that we want to give you today, and then we're going to pray for you. And the gift is pretty simple. We've done this the last couple of years, and first thing we want to give you is a compass. Now, I recognize it's a little archaic. You know, we have, like, compasses on our iPhones and stuff nowadays, but the thing with a compass is, if it's working, if it's not broken, a compass always points north. And if you know how to read a compass, you can always find your way if you get lost, as long as you can find north. And so you know, that's why we give you the compass, because our Bible, which is your second gift, is like a spiritual compass. Because the Bible always points north to God. And if you can find north, if you can find God, I guarantee you, you can find your way, no matter how lost you feel in life. And so these are one more of a symbol. Could be a nice piece of bling around your neck or a keychain, whatever. But one, I do pray that you guys would dig into this word, that you would begin to discover who God is and the plans and the purposes that He has for your life, because He does have good plans for you guys. So we're going to pray for you guys, and we're going to give you these. I'm going to invite, if there's any parents or close friends and you want to come up and stand with a grad, to come on up right now. And we're just going to pray for them as we close this service. But come on up. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. Come on up. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Good stuff. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Love it. Fantastic. Cool. Well, let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for this bunch of awesome students. God, we thank you for the gifts that you've given them, the talents that you've given them, God, and the calling that you've put on each of their lives. God, I pray that where some of them may feel lost and feel like they don't exactly know the direction that you would have them go in life, God, I do pray that as they begin to trust you with all their heart, as they begin to acknowledge you and notice you in the small things in life, begin to look for the signs where you're pointing them, God, that they would have the courage to step out and pursue all that you have for them. God, I pray for just the stories that are going to come out of this bunch. God, we're excited as a church that we get to stand with them this morning and that we get to walk with them and journey with them and support them as they begin the journey of being an adult. And so, God, would you keep them on our hearts? Would you keep them on our minds as they continue on in the coming months, as they begin to make some big choices for their lives? God, would you lead them and would you guide them? God, would you straighten their paths as they go now? We bless them. We honor them and we thank you for them. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's give them a round of applause, guys. Amen. 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 No, no names. Amen. Amen.